So last week, we of course celebrated a great feast of Epiphany. And now today, a week later, in the twinkling of an eye, the Christmas season is over. So sorry about that, everyone. I know we love Christmas, but it's now over. Those things happen sometimes. I know sometimes, too, these weeks between now and Lent, in this case, one month from today, we begin the Lenten season with Ash Wednesday. These weeks can sometimes be a little bit awkward, right? We had a great Christmas season, all kinds of wonderful ways to enter in more deeply into our life of faith. Lent, many of us take that very seriously, and we kind of have this, you could say, intermission between the two, and it can be a little bit awkward. And so I want to propose here this evening that our readings really offer us a wonderful invitation and kind of a model for how you and I, in these weeks from now until Lent, can really stay in the game. That's the phrase that's been in my mind here this weekend, how you and I can stay in the game. So we have the first reading from the book of Samuel, right? Samuel keeps on being called. He thinks it's this Eli calling him, Eli the prophet, and he finds out later on that no, it is the Lord God calling him. Every single time Samuel is called, even though he doesn't get it right in terms of who it is that's calling him, that it is the Lord, Samuel gets up and goes, and he wants to do the will of God, right? We just sing it in the psalm, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. Samuel is an example in the Old Testament of somebody who is staying in the game. And then, most notably, right, we have the apostles, these disciples who are called by Jesus and who remain with him and stay in relationship with him. And just to kind of break it open here a little bit for us this evening, the one who points out that Jesus is the Lamb of God is John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist had disciples. John the Baptist had followers. In this case, he had two. I'm sure he had more than that, but in this case, he had two. And he says to the two who are following him, look, he is the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah. This is the guy. And we later find out that one of those two is Andrew, St. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. That was explained throughout the gospel here this evening. Now, notice everyone, when they're following Jesus, right? If somebody's like following you, you eventually turn around, and that's what Jesus does. They're following him. He turns around, and he asks them a question. He says to them, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And did you notice the uniqueness of the response? They said, we're looking for Florida. We're looking for Hawaii. We're looking for somewhere warmer, Jesus. All right, they didn't say that. I'm being silly. By the way, just to note for a second, everyone, isn't it on weekends like this that you and I are asking of our ancestors, many of us, what were you thinking? Like, was Norway that bad? I don't know what was going on in Norway in the 1880s when my ancestors came over, but it couldn't have been this bad. And so someday, we'll maybe be able to find out if there's other options that they were given, and they still chose Central and Northwest North Dakota in my case. Anyway, that's a tangent. Back to this gospel. So, Jesus asks them, what are you looking for? And that same question that he asks them, he does ask us all the time. All the time he's asking you and me, what are you looking for? And they respond with their own question. They say, teacher, where are you staying? Wherever you go, I want to go. Wherever you are, I want to be. Where are you staying? Now, we can hear that. And we can say, oh, they just kind of want to like have a snack with Jesus. No, this is something much more than having a snack with Jesus. The word stay in the Gospel of John is in many ways John's go-to word, right? If you want to talk about like the essence of the Gospel of John, his gospel is a gospel of staying, of abiding, sometimes it's translated, of remaining. So later on, at the Last Supper, John 14, 15, 16, when Jesus is talking about remaining with him, staying with him, abiding with him, it's the same word. So Jesus very clearly wants them to be with him, to stay with them, to stay in the game, so to speak. Jesus didn't say that, but that's what I'm saying. Jesus wants them to stay in the game. But even more than that, everyone, even more than Jesus wants them to stay in the game, he wants to stay with them, too. And that is true for us. That wherever we're at right now, whatever is going on, Jesus wants to stay there with you. And it only happens if we let him. He can only stay if we make room for him and let him. I want to propose two quick practical considerations for how you and I in these weeks before Lent can stay in the game. Number one, what we're doing right now here at Mass, right? What we're doing right here at Mass. You know, oftentimes people will think or they'll say, so how do I get more out of Mass, right? Like, I made the effort. I've driven here. I've warmed up my car. I walked through the parking lot. How do I get more out of Mass? Great question. It's a question that we should always be asking. And one of the most basic ways you and I can get more out of Mass is by simply exercising the gift of faith that we have through baptism. Exercising the gift of faith on an internal level of the heart. Here's what I mean. You know, oftentimes we can forget that the sacraments are not magic, right? It's not like we receive a sacrament and we just like magically get changed. Let me explain. In a few moments, when I, as a priest, Jesus acting through a priest, Jesus makes present himself in a real way, in a true, real, substantial way. He becomes present in the Eucharist when it's validly celebrated. And we celebrate valid sacraments, don't we, in the life of the church? So in a few moments, Jesus shows up. He becomes present. As I told our grade school kids on Friday, Jesus is in the house, right? He is here. He is present, truly, absolutely, substantially. And when you come forward to receive Jesus in communion, no matter your level of faith, no matter where you're at with things, no matter your own belief, no matter even the state of your soul, that is Jesus. Truly, really substantially, in a valid way, we would call that the validity of the sacraments. But how often, right, and we've all been there, I've been there, you could say, come forward in a nonchalant kind of way. Come forward in a unengaged sort of way, kind of casually. And then we leave and say, what just happened? Like, why didn't I feel anything? Because the faith is not based on feelings, but the faith is based on exercising faith. And so, what this then means, everyone, is for Jesus to be effective in us, for the sacraments to be transformative, the gift of faith is needed. Right? You can't just come up and not exercise faith and think that it isn't going to change me. No, the gift of faith is needed for Jesus to transform you and me. We call that fruitfulness. And so our own faith that we exercise makes room for Jesus to become present, for Jesus to be fruitful, for Jesus to transform us. A quick little side, last night after the 4:30 Mass, I baptized a second grader from our grade school. Obviously, that's a little bit later than most of us were baptized, but his classmates are preparing to receive their first Holy Communion, and he wants to be part of that. And so his family and he decided that he wants to be baptized. And this kid was just glowing last night. He was so excited. He was so happy. It was just a picture to be seen. And after the baptism, he and his mom and dad and grandma came up here, took their pictures, and again, just clearly just baptized. And afterwards, while the picture was going on down here, I was back in the sacristy taking my vestments off and getting ready to shut off the lights and all that. And I heard the grandma tell him, I could hear from back there, she said to him, I want to be so close to you right now. You're like the holiest thing on earth. That grandma got it. Like Jesus entered him. The Holy Spirit entered him. God the Father entered him. And he was made holy in a valid way. And now he has the rest of his life to allow the truth of the sacrament to become fruitful in his life. That's what we're talking about. I gave the grandma a thumbs up, by the way. She did great. That's also what St. Paul is talking about, that you and I are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. He makes us holy. One last practical consideration real quick. When you leave Mass tonight and you walk through the parking lot towards the main bar, I mean, when you walk towards that way, if you look over to that direction, you'll see our parish offices. Our parish offices has a Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. We have nearly 40 hours of adoration per week. We have nearly 80 people in this parish and our community make a holy hour in our chapel once a week. I would invite you, if your schedule allows, to consider being a weekly adorer. We always need more. Right now we need like 4 or 5. That's why I'm making the pitch. But by being a weekly adorer in the presence of the Eucharist, if your schedule allows, what you then do, in addition to growing in your own faith and making more room for him, is you allow others in our community, others in our parish, who can't commit to a weekly holy hour because of all kinds of other responsibilities, to stop in maybe once a month, to stop in time to time. You allow them to do that. You bless other people by giving us the opportunity to offer so many hours of adoration each week. So again, wherever we're at here this evening on this cold, cold weekend, let's make sure that during these weeks ahead, we are staying in the game.